Jim Brandstatter, voice of Michigan football, become his lucky charm. He's like calling Superfly going, put me on. Ever since he's put me on, we keep winning. What's going on?
Wait a minute. Ever since I put you on? It's your show.
No. It was Superfly.
Come on now, Bill.
Superfly, since I put him on, I was referencing speaking
for
Superfly.
Okay.
Man, dude, the loss to Michigan State, I think we talked about this last week, that the way it put that team in the bunker, humbled them, made them hungry, the mission they've been on since that loss to Michigan State is amazing. And what we witnessed this past Saturday night, just total domination.
Really was. That's as good a football team as I've seen out there. Now, Iowa's not that, okay? Iowa's not a great, great football team. They've got some offensive struggles and stuff. But when you put it on them 42-3, I'm telling you, that's pretty amazing. And that was total domination from, I think, after the first 5 minutes of the football game, it was over. And defensively, offensively, Michigan just did what they do. Very businesslike, but still having fun, enjoying the moment. It was, I'll tell you what. And like I said, afterwards, Bill, the confetti and the Big Ten championship, if you don't think the Big Ten championship, conference championship matters, you shouldn't have been there. I mean, it gets diminished somewhat because of this playoff deal, but I'll tell you what, in person, there's a great deal of pride when you go and you take a conference championship. And I hope somehow, some way, we keep it important and relevant that conference championships matter.
Jimmy, one note about the beatdown on Iowa. Worst loss by a Kirk Ferentz team since 1999.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Michigan, just like you said, they're on a mission. And can I add one thing to your coach of the year thing? I think Dan Dierdorf agrees with you 100%, by the way. And the other thing I would add in, and I agree, Mel Tucker had a fabulous year. What he did at Michigan State was great. But there's one other factor, I think, that maybe, and you can argue and say maybe, that's not a big deal. But Mel Tucker remade his team through the transfer portal. I mean, Kenneth Walker came to him from somewhere else. Jim Harbaugh did this with these same characters. No difference, no additions. And true freshmen, a couple of them played. Donovan Edwards, clearly. J.J. McCarthy, clearly. But he did it with the same cast of characters that a year ago were 2-4. So I think that's a little bit of the factor that goes into Jim's category in regards to the Coach of the Year argument.
I think you could make an argument that any Coach of the Year competition, that Tucker and Harbaugh, not because, you know, you're afraid to pick one or the other, or because you're with Michigan, or I'm doing a statewide show here, that they really were worthy of being co-Coach of the Years everywhere. And I know some of the voters for the Big Ten told me there wasn't the option to have co-champions or co-coaches of the year, but it's just, and now they still are on this run, and they get through the celebration. A couple days off, as Harbaugh told the Selection Sunday show yesterday, and then they're going to get after looking at Georgia, and you get a Georgia team that was just beat up on by Alabama, and Alabama has incredible speed at the wide receiver. So does Michigan. Michigan has a good line. You know, I'm thinking Georgia obviously has that unbelievable front seven. And here's Michigan, a 7.5-point underdog on the DraftKings Sportsbook app big board. And it's a similar situation going into the Ohio State game. But now it's flipped. Georgia had the defense that got them to the Final Four, not that Ohio State-type offense.
Yeah, it's kind of looking like it's kind of strength on strength, doesn't it? Both teams defensively look like, you know, they're going to have an edge on the other guy's offense. So then it comes down to turnover special teams, things like that. So I think it's a great matchup. I think of the two semifinals, it looks to me as even and strategically kind of more fun to break down, if you will, because of what you just went through. I think it's going to be a great semifinal, and I think it's a great matchup for the country.
And I look at the matchup, and you're Michigan, and you beat Ohio State. You won the Big Ten. I don't think they're – I know you want to win the national championship. I'm not discounting that at all. You want to get to Indy where the college football playoff title game will be this year. But Michigan, still hungry, still in the bunker, love each other, playing for each other.
Right.
But they'll be stress-free. There'll be a lot of pressure on Georgia after being number one all year. And the way they were embarrassed by Alabama, how do they respond? I really think there's a nice advantage here for Michigan, and they match up against their defense, and I think Michigan has a better offense.
Yeah, and I think you're right a little bit, Bill. It's almost like Michigan's playing with house money.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
They got none to lose. They're out there having fun. They're loosey-goosey. Georgia does have that number one ranking on them all year. Everybody is hoping and praying that, hey, let's get the rematch with Alabama, da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah, I agree with that. And the other thing I think that Michigan has is that, and they've gone through this since that Michigan State game. You brought it up a minute ago. You're absolutely correct. Since that Michigan State game, you know what their attitude has been? It's been the playoffs. Win the next one. And I think that's a great way to approach, you know, this whole playoff thing, which is brand new to Michigan, is just win the next one. They've had that mantra since that October 30th date against Michigan State. We got to win the next one. We got to win the next one. We got to win the next one. And I think that will stand them, I think, really, really well as they get prepared for this Georgia game, because that's kind of the way they've been. It's like a normal routine thing. Let's just win the next one. And then if you win that one, oh, okay, let's go win the next one. That's a great attitude to take with you, I think, in this playoff deal.
Jim Brandstetter, voice of Michigan football. His run isn't over yet. One for sure, maybe two more games before him and Dan Dierdorf retire from the booth. He's joining us on the Meyer guest line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. Yeah, one thing, Brock Bowers, the tight end that actually Michigan was recruiting out of Napa, California. Yeah. He's a freshman at Georgia. That guy runs a 4.5. He's 6'4". 230, and
yeah, I mean,
he's amazing.
Where did he come from? He's like, he's a wide receiver. What's he doing playing tight end?
Yeah, well, he's 6'4", 230, runs a 4.5, and he breaks tackles. And, I don't think Georgia went to him enough. It was easy to see. If you want to rattle Georgia, get ahead of them by double digits and make them chase points. They were a totally different team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the key to the Iowa game for Michigan, too. I think once they got that first touchdown in the second half, they went up 21-3. I think at that point, you know, Iowa can't chase points. So, I agree. I mean, but, again, easier said than done against that defense. So, I think this one's coming down in the fourth quarter. I think it's going to be tight. And I think special teams are going to be key. I really do. And in that regard, I think Michigan, maybe not in the return game, but I think in the kicking game, they've got a great edge. I mean, Moody and Robbins have been great all year. And they continue to do well. So I think Michigan's got a good edge there. So I think it's going to be great. I'm just excited. I'm like you said, if Michigan's playing with house money, so am I. I'm just glad to be doing one more.
The last 9 days are surreal for someone like you that has been a part of Michigan football for decades, for the fans, for the ticket holders, for the boosters, for the players, for the coaches, for the alums, beating Ohio State. 7 days later, winning the Big Ten title. 8 days later, finding out you're the 2 seed in the college football playoff.
I know.
Playing Georgia.
You know,
well, I mean, everything Jim Harbaugh was hired to do when Jim Hackett cut that deal, everything that the Michigan fan and the University of Michigan wanted from Harbaugh, they've done so far this year.
Absolutely. And you know the other people that's been great for, and you kind of have to be around a little bit to see, but the family. The families. I mean, I saw Chris Hinton, who is, of course, Chris Hinton's dad, all pro offensive lineman, played at Northwestern. He's in the hotel wearing maize and blue. And all the offensive lineman parents are hanging out. Mrs. Keegan, Trevor Keegan's mom, came up to say hello to me. I was having coffee with my friend Chris Seifert, and Mrs. Keegan came up. So did Mrs. Zinter. And they all gathered around, and I said hello to Chris Hinton, who is just a great player. It's so much fun to see the families of the players. They bond. The players, if they're brotherhood, so are the parents and the siblings. They all get to know each other. They're traveling to these places. It was that lobby, that hotel was really cool with the parents of the players. And again, it's like what you just said, the alums, the players, everybody else, but it's also the families that are just pinching themselves with such a great run and enjoy. How about the Hutchinsons? Talk about having a dream come true How about Chris Hutchinson watching his son wearing his old number just basically explode on college football? How proud can he be?
Yeah, and every mock draft now has Aiden Hutchinson at the top, and I think we're awaiting the Heisman finalist award, and I would think it's Bryce Young, Stroud. I don't know if Walker, Hutchinson, we're awaiting.
Walker, Hutchinson, and Pickett, I think those five guys, four of the five, I think you're going to be in it. And I think the last couple of games on big stages, Aiden Hutchinson certainly has made a case.
Yeah, he's made a case, but I think Bryce Young, what he did to the number one team in America on Saturday night, I think he clinched the Heisman.
I'm not suggesting Aiden's clearly a long shot to win it, but to get the invite to New York.
Oh, yeah, I think Hutchinson will do it. Because you're looking at a guy that is probably going to be the overall number one pick in the 2022 draft. And, again, the Lions won. We'll see if they end up with him, but who knows. It was a great weekend. I thought, Jim, and I want to end the conversation with this, I thought bringing out the Myrie family from Oxford for the coin toss, and the family standing there, and the decals on the helmet, the number 42 for the late Tate Myrie, who was gunned down inside Oxford High School last week, and just the family standing there, Fox, the reverence of the players, what Michigan did for them, wearing the T-shirts. I'm looking at, the hat that even Harbaugh's wearing on the side. There's Tate, the little patch.
Right.
He had on his hat on the sidelines, and it really, I understood what lied ahead with the Big Ten title game, but man, it really put things in perspective.
It did indeed. I thought it was a wonderful gesture on part of the whole University of Michigan. Actually, it was Aiden Hutchinson that went to Jim and talked to him about, hey, shouldn't we do something for this tragic event? And they kind of went to work, put their heads together, and came up with this whole plan. I just think that's part of the beauty of this team. And I'm not saying it's not everybody in the entire southeastern corner of Michigan and Oxford and everybody across the country is appalled by this thing, but they kind of put their minds to it to say, what can we do in a public setting to draw attention to this awful tragedy and make sure that we let everybody know that this can't happen again? Let's do something to put an end to it. And I agree with you 100%. It was a great football game. It was a great event. It was all of those things. But it also, put everybody's feet back on the ground to say there are other things that are as important as this. And I was just very proud of my university and that football team that they paid tribute to those victims in Oxford before they died in that entire community.
Amen. And then what the Lions and Vikings did wearing the Oxford T-shirts during warm-ups, and then the moment of silence, and then they wore the decals. And then afterwards, Campbell, Lions first win, gave the game ball to the Myrie family. And
Dan Campbell off the charts good with that. I mean, he wears his heart on his sleeve anyway. But his post-game thing and what he said about Oxford and giving the game ball there, just that was off the charts. Good for him.
And so one thing I can do that I tell people that I can separate the business of sports with what a coach or a player does compared to who, and I'll never discount who they are as a person, because we don't know a lot of people, what they do away from the field, away from the cameras, away from the spotlight. But man, the way the state of Michigan, America, Fox, the Big Ten allowing that to happen, the NFL, it really was, and the people of Oxford, Michigan, so many of us who have probably never even been there, met any of the people, just really care about them. It really puts the entire world in perspective. And Brandy, man, enjoy the downtime. Get ready for that trip to Miami, and we'll talk the week before. And
I'll be glad to.
One game at a time, Brandy. That's my new motto.
Hey, we just got one game to play. That's all. And best to you on the holidays, you and yours.
Back at you.
Be peaceful and be safe.
You too, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
All right, Jim Brandstatter. He is voice of Michigan football.